The challenge we have is we've spent a lot of time trying to prevent bots from making transactions because we've seen them as malicious. We've seen them as likely fraudulent actors. So we need to create transparency in this ecosystem that there's another party that's transacting and make sure that's done with the same transparency and security and trust as you expect when you're buying online today.
Hello and welcome back to Where AI Works, conversations at the intersection of AI and industry, brought to you by the Wharton School in collaboration with Accenture. I'm your host, Peter Capelli. I'm professor of management at the Wharton School and director of our Center for Human Resources. It's our goal here to cut through the noise to deliver actionable insights for business leaders, combining cutting-edge research and real-world case studies. We're doing the case studies today. Things are changing fast, so let's dive in. On this episode, I'm excited to explore the world of using AI agents, inserting them into some customer service work, the kind of thing that we thought was going to happen a lot with AI, and we don't have very many examples. So today we're going to jump in on an example and see what is going on with it. And joining me for today's conversation is Greg Ulrich. He's the Chief AI and Data Officer at MasterCard. Greg, thanks so much for being here. Welcome to Where AI Works.
Thank you so much for having me, Peter.
So first question is, how did you get to where you are now? Were you a data science guy who became a manager? Were you a manager who became a data science guy, or none of the above?
A little bit of both. I originally came from Wharton for business school, so it's great to be here with you.
Were you a student of mine? Did you get an A, I hope?
I was not a student of yours, unfortunately. Good. I missed you.
I'm safe. Okay, good.
I did consulting sort of before and after, but afterwards I focused in the nonprofit sector. I was really intrigued by why certain interventions in the social sector worked and some didn't. And that got me into data analytics from there. And I joined a company called APT. And long story short, MasterCard acquired that company 10 years ago.
Was this an intention on the part of MasterCard to pull the talent out of your organization? Was that partly what they wanted?
I think all of our acquisitions have some degree of talent acquisition, but the primary goal, maybe I'll give you just 2 seconds on MasterCard's business model, how it's evolved and why a data analytics company fits into this ecosystem. MasterCard's known as a global payments network, but we're not just trying to process transactions. We're trying to add security and intelligence to those transactions. And the business, you could think almost as a virtuous flywheel. The larger our network gets, the more data we get from that network, the more we're able to scale services on top of that. Fraud scoring, cybersecurity, insights to help our customers. And therefore, we make the ecosystem safer, more secure, more intelligent. The more value we add to our customers with those services, it helps us win share and grow our payments network. The more that happens, the more data and scale we get for those services. And the business has really evolved that way. Our services division, which if you can think of as the insights, the fraud scoring, open finance, things around customer engagement and marketing and loyalty, is now 38% of the business. It's an $11 billion business, and it's been growing much more rapidly than the core of the business. And it's enabling us to add a lot more value to the entire ecosystem and to our core. And so as we went down this path, MasterCard went down this path, they realized they needed to do a lot of acquisitions to bolster these capabilities. Some around data analytics, that's where APT came in. Some around cybersecurity and threat intelligence. And the most recent acquisition we made, a company called Recorded Future, was done about a year ago and is in the threat intelligence space, really trying to get additional information so we can provide insights to help people understand where threats are coming from before they're on their doorstep.
It's a really interesting story to hear about how AI, broadly defined in data analytics, generates new business for you and new opportunities. That's an interesting thing. We want to talk about one of the things that you've done in particular, and that is to put agents, and by that we mean large language model type of AI agents, to work on the customer-facing sort of side and the tool that you developed. And so if you could tell us a little about what it looked like before you introduced your tool, how did work get done?
We think about AI deployment at MasterCard in 4 ways, one of which is around how we just help our company get stronger, how we help it get better. And then 3 of the applications are external for our customers. how we make commerce safer. But on where agents come in and where we're trying to deploy this is in a few places. One of those is in customer service. And one of the things that we noticed that we could use some help with was how our customers onboard our products, how they bring it into their ecosystem. There's a lot of technical manuals. They're hundreds of pages long. We have a support team that provides support to our customers to enable this. And what we did was we created agents that were trained on all the Q&A back and forth, all these technical documents. And it's really an agent that enables our customer support agent to give much faster and better support to the end customer.
So let's ask you to drill down on one of these that I guess you are responsible for, this agent pay thing. And how did that work before agent pay was introduced? So how did the money flow? What did it look like before?
Sure. This whole ecosystem of agentic commerce is incredibly new. It's happening in the moment. The phases that one goes through on this, it starts with, I'm using ChatGPT or whatever my favorite, to do research on running shoes that I might want to buy. And I'm getting a different interaction mechanism than I'm getting in traditional search. I'm not going to the Hoka website. I'm not going to the ASICS website. I'm getting all of this in a recommendation in one spot. A natural manifestation of that is we're seeing more and more people move search to these AI agents. It's actually execute a transaction in that ecosystem, enabling a consumer, a small business to execute in that same workflow. I've decided I need stability shoes. I've decided I like this brand the best.
Yep.
I've had this back and forth interaction that's faster and gives me better information than I had previously. And now I know I want the Hoka Bondi in size 11. I want to click a button and say, buy that for me. And that's the next step where these agents also want to go. The challenge we have is that's a new player in the ecosystem. And a lot of the things that we've developed, I talked about how we use AI for all these fraud prevention. We've spent a lot of time trying to prevent bots from making transactions because we've seen them as malicious. We've seen them as likely fraudulent actors. So we need to create transparency in this ecosystem that there's another party that's transacting and make sure that's done with the same transparency and security and trust as you expect when you're buying online today. And so what we're doing is trying to put the tools in place to do that by basically certifying who these agents are so they become a part of the MasterCard network. We know that they're a legitimate actor and we can pass information back and forth to the merchant, to the issuer, that we can certify the user, the individual, Peter is associated with this agent, that you're a real authenticated user. So we can create this audit trail in case challenges come in the future and that we create the security and tokenize the transaction to make sure we can pass the right information along this chain in a way that's safe and secure.
Really relevant for me because I just did this exercise in trying to buy shoes and I was actually placing an order to some place in China that I was not aware of. It's exactly the problem you're describing, right? This was a transaction that was actually fraudulent and I couldn't really tell. And it also had connections to credit cards that looked legitimate. So that's the kind of problem you're trying to deal with here.
We're trying to prevent the fraud in the first case. And then, like we have with any transaction, be it agentic or not, we're trying to make sure that there's a clear, transparent, and simple process so the consumer stays protected in this ecosystem. If you buy something that you weren't responsible for, there's a dispute resolution process. The consumer is protected. And that happens because we can see that, hey, you were trying to buy X and the wrong thing was shipped and there was a mistake. And we can adjudicate that process through dispute resolution. And we need that same audit trail to happen so we can make sure that in the case something goes wrong, we have the information through the ecosystem to handle that in agentic commerce as well.
Before you guys went to this or before your colleagues probably elsewhere were trying to do similar things, did it just not work or did they have checks in place to try to prevent fraud? I mean, what happened before?
So this is an interesting example because you haven't traditionally seen a lot of the actual execution of, I want to be able to buy these running shoes through these agents.
Yep.
Perplexity was the first one that did this. And if you're signed up with Perplexity, they have payment information for you. And they were sort of, it's almost a manual process of saying, okay, well, if you want to buy this, we'll go through and enter your information into the ecosystem. But it's a little bit of a cumbersome process, and they're trying to make sure that there's a market here. As this comes to scale, you want that on an automated basis, and that's the technology we're trying to enable. But also, without this, the challenge you will have is the authorization rate on these transactions will be lower than people expect because there'll be too many transactions that won't be recognized where it's coming from. They'll be flagged as fraudulent or mysterious when they shouldn't be. And by providing that transparency, you may have a much higher hit rate of transactions coming through. Without that transparency, there's too many challenges in that ecosystem and the ecosystem doesn't work. The beauty of paying anywhere with a credit card is it's a very high secure, but also a high throughput system. It works. When you tap your card, it works. When you swipe your card, it works. And you always have to balance fraud and the convenience. So that's what we're doing here as well. And without the information, because we're worried about fraud, I think the convenience would go down for all the parties in the ecosystem.
So just to illustrate this one, the problem is, because I've certainly had this particularly recently, if you travel far, I was in Europe, you know, and your credit card is turned down, which is kind of embarrassing, and you can get irritated at your credit card company, but it could be any part in that chain where they decide to block it because they're not sure, right?
That's right.
And so the goal for you folks is to do in real time enough checking and certification that we don't have false negatives, right?
That's right.
And we don't get ripped off either.
That's right. Every transaction that comes through our network gets a score. It can score from 1 to 999 based on how likely we think that this is legitimate or fraudulent.
Okay.
And that's based on AI that we've developed over the years and based on transaction history and what we see happening in the network.
Mm-hmm.
You take Gen AI, I'm shifting a little bit from agentic commerce, but to another way in which Gen AI is enabling this challenge that you have. Now we can use Gen AI to bring in a lot more information than we could before, right? We can use an edge inference graph and look at all the different merchants in the ecosystem, even if you haven't shopped at them, to understand how likely it would be that you would have shopped at these different merchants. So even if you would show up at something that you've never been there before in our current model, that would reduce your score. But if we see it's actually pretty likely that other people that have the same shopping history as Peter and shop at these types of retailers actually also shop there, It's much more likely that that's a legitimate transaction that'll help increase your score. So we provide a score through to the bank. The bank is the one that makes the decision ultimately on whether or not that transaction goes up or down, but we're trying to provide the best possible information and Gen AI is enabling us to bring in much more information than we could previously to make sure we don't get those inappropriate declines and make sure that when there is something inappropriate that we actually are able to stop it.
The amount of data that you use now to make those scores, give us a sense of how big that is. I mean, how many variables are you looking at? And
sure. So we switch 159 billion transactions a year. For the decision intelligence product I was talking about, that's the one that gives a score using the information we have as well as these new merchant graphs. There's a trillion data points effectively that's going into these models that are helping make these decisions.
Wow, big numbers.
Big numbers.
So that's fascinating in itself. It's presumably something you've always been trying to do, and it's just in the last few years, your ability to incorporate so much more data and generate a single number from it rather than a series of numbers from each individual measure, which is probably what at some point they were trying to do, right? Is quite something, right?
Yeah. Using AI machine learning, not the Gen AI capabilities that have come out in the last several years, but traditional machine learning on this has been something that's been a part of this for over two decades.
Yeah.
And we were producing a score, a single score out of that, but we're now, with Gen AI, able to bring in a lot more information, increase the efficacy of some of these solutions, and produce new solutions for customers that we couldn't without this new technology. So we were in a good spot because we had such a deep bench of expertise and capabilities of using data and using AI. Gen AI now brings additional capabilities that allows you to sort of turbocharge that in many ways.
So working us toward the agent pay tool, maybe you could walk us through the problems of trying to get that thing to work. Some of them are not technical problems. Some of them are kind of maybe managerial problems. Maybe you start with the managerial ones. You got these different stakeholders. Presumably, you all have to sort of sign up on this. What would that look like, that problem?
This is an example where I think our organization came together very, very quickly and coalesced on a pretty clear answer about how we were going to enable this. We're fortunate that we had some of the technology in place that we thought would enable these to happen. And the immediate pain points around the transparency and the fraud on the transactions were pretty clear.
When you get to the stakeholders, that once you get outside of MasterCard, were there any particular challenges there in terms of rolling this out?
On the fundamental technology, I think we're having very productive and good discussions. I do think that there will continue to be discussions around different parties, because you're basically adding another party into the flow.
Okay.
Instead of just a consumer, a bank, the acquirer for the merchant, you now have an agent in the middle. And I think the questions around how economics are distributed with another party, how liability are distributed with another party, how visibility and ownership of the consumer exists with another party are still things that people have concerns about and we're working through.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit. So MasterCard was already there in the middle, but now you're making judgments that are more sophisticated and you're passing along more information than you were passing along before. Is it different in any way for the users, or is it sort of for them transparent?
So for a consumer, our goal is to make this seem just as it would for any other transaction you're making online. You click buy, you're going to see a checkout page show up. It's just going to end up being in the AI agent as opposed to on your retailer site. But we're trying to make it so for the consumer, it's a simple experience, has the same security, but also has the same acknowledgement. You'll see if it's a MasterCard transaction, the trust marks and the branding that are associated with, okay, I know that's my card. I know this is trusted. I can see parties that I recognize in this ecosystem. So this is an easy and simple experience for the consumer. And that's what everyone in this ecosystem wants to create. That's why the agents are doing this. We have people that are coming to us and doing all this work. The best thing for a consumer, the best thing for Peter here, now that he's figured out what running shoes, is just buy them, right? Why are we then sending him somewhere else? And why are we breaking up the flow? Why are we creating work for Peter on this? We want to make this simple and easy.
It sounds like there's a lot involved in trying to develop this agent pay. Inside MasterCard, do you think of it as one thing, or is it a whole series of little decisions and a bunch of agents? How do you look at this thing?
It's a little bit different from some of the other things that we've developed. So I'll answer your question with a little bit of context before it.
Okay.
There are a whole host of ways in which we're deploying AI agents to help solve different problems. Most of them exist sort of within a single vertical or area of our company. So we have thousands of consultants in the enterprise. We've created a series of agents that enable them to access material, summarize research, do additional research, all within the context that you could break their job out into the component pieces. And we've created different AI agents to enable different elements. And we've done some and we're going down the list and continuing to add more information and improve the life. But it's contained in the ecosystem, if you will, of the consulting workflow. We've done the same for our franchise. We have violations around our franchise. So we've created a bunch of agents. Some are checking the internet for information, some of which are looking at our transaction data to figure out if there's a merchant that is violating rules or is miscoded for some reason and therefore not getting the appropriate economics. It's a series of agents, but again, contained within the franchise group. Agent Pay is interesting because it's bringing in tokenization technology that is part of our core payments. It's bringing in the ability for us to capture consent, which is part of our developer experience. We're creating an intent API so we understand what the consumer is asking for and making sure we're collecting that information. It creates the framework for disputes, which sits in our security group around, do we have the right post-purchase experience and can we enable that? So unlike a lot of the other applications, it really touches on all the different elements in the company, all the different services and the different elements of our core technology to come together to create a seamless experience. And so, whereas most of these have a pretty defined working group within an area, this is a much broader team across the enterprise.
It is a big challenge, and you guys have pulled it off, I think, right?
Yeah, well, it's not a finish line, and you run 26.2 miles, and then you get to be done. This is going to be a space that evolves quite a lot. Right now, we're talking about this example with the running shoe. A more complicated one is you say, hey, I like this running shoe, but you know what? I don't need them right now. If it goes on sale for under $99 in the next 3 months, then buy it as long as there's free shipping and free returns. And when you get into planning a travel, okay, book that, but you have to go to airline X here and hotel Y here and car rental Z here and restaurants here. And all of a sudden, the hotel doesn't have availability. And does that change the complexity of managing this and why that intent matters and the information flow matters so much. This ecosystem will continue to evolve, I believe. And it won't just be for consumers. It will be in the B2B context as well. And so there's a lot more that we have in front of us to continue to innovate to make sure we address the challenges in front of us.
Greg Ulrich is the head of data science and AI stuff for MasterCard and ran a really interesting project here. Greg, thanks very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's review some key takeaways from my conversation with Greg here. I think what's interesting and important about this conversation is it really illustrates the intersection between management issues and AI technology. And in Greg's story, the most important thing to me was the ability of MasterCard to get all these different groups, may have sat at one point in different silos, to work together on a big collective AI tool that was going to change in a fundamental way how business is done. How do you get everybody to cooperate and be aligned on a mission? Well, that is a big task. It's not about AI per se, but it is about things, as he was describing, leadership, organizational culture, and priorities, the fact that everybody understands this is a big deal for the organization. That's what makes it work. It is a good reminder, I think, a lesson for other organizations. If you're going to take on something big in AI and that is complicated, you know, it's going to span organizational issues, you better start with the management problems first, because otherwise they could block the success of your effort and then you end up with nothing. So that's all for today. Thanks very much for listening. Please follow us so you don't miss a thing, and be sure to tune in next time for our final regular episode of the season. This has been Where AI Works, conversations at the intersection of AI and industry, brought to you by the Wharton School in collaboration with Accenture. I'm Peter Capelli. See you again soon.